Thank you, Ray. It's been a joy to be here these last three nights, last Thursday night and last Sunday night tonight. We trust that it's been as much a blessing to you as it has to oneself as we've looked into God's Word, and that it will continue to challenge us. We've enjoyed the fellowship. Elaine and I have enjoyed the fellowship here, and as always, we felt that we have been welcomed back as part of the family, and we want to thank you for that. Ask your prayers as we move along. Will of the Lord, tomorrow we go up into Ontario. We'll be there most of the month of November. Hope to be back and have breakfast with you on Thanksgiving morning. But that'll only be for a short time and back here before we go back up into Canada for the last few days of November. We'd ask you to pray for the work in the Philippines. We, I think, mentioned the typhoon that went through there 2 weeks ago. We just heard via the news that another one has gone through, and because of various reports, it's hard to know just where it went. We saw a satellite view of the clouds, and it looked to me like it went right over the same area that the other typhoon did. In a report tonight in the Buffalo Evening News, it indicated that some of the islands toward the center part of the Philippines, Samar and Leyte, got hit. We'd ask you to pray for our Filipino brethren that have been, and sisters that have been hurt with this. We've experienced some wind today. I understand that it gusted up to 60 miles an hour. It's double that hit the Philippines 2 weeks ago. It was 140 mile an hour winds that went through there. And it's very difficult to understand what a wind can do at that speed and the damage it's done. And some of our Filipinos have lost all their crops as a result of ready to harvest, and they're gone. And their houses, one wonders how the house could stand with that kind of wind, particularly the kind of houses that they live in, that sometimes I'm afraid to walk across the floor in their houses because you can feel them move as you walk. And you wonder with a wind like that how it would stand. So pray for them and pray that the Lord will help in the restoration of what the Lord has seen fit to take from them. Let's look at the third chapter of Habakkuk. As we've looked through this book, we have seen that Habakkuk has done some questioning. He's asked the Lord, "Lord, as I look on your people and see the sin in their lives, Lord, why are you doing nothing?" And then he gets the answer from the Lord, an answer that he did not expect, an answer that kind of shook him. The Lord said, "Do you see that nation, the nation Babylon? I am preparing them, and they are going to punish the nation of Israel." And that caused Habakkuk to do some more questioning. "Hey, wait a minute, Lord. That nation of Babylon is the most wicked nation in the earth, and why are you using that nation to punish a holy nation, your nation?" And God answers him again and says, "Well, they're not going to go unpunished either." And we saw that Sunday night, how God had pronounced some woes upon that nation. And they would not be left unpunished. Even though they were used to punish the nation of Israel, God would see that they would be punished as well. You know, it's very interesting to see, as we have read through this, to see that God is behind all the nations. We sometimes don't see this. We sometimes don't understand this. But God is behind it all. And it's wonderful to know that God was behind the election in this country and the ones that were elected were those because of God's choice. We may not understand it. It may be somebody that you didn't vote for got in. And yet God knows, and God has worked it out. Then in this last chapter, we come to, I have classified it as who God is. And we look at some more of what God is and who he is. Let's read this chapter, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigenoth. Lord, I have heard the report about thee, and I fear. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from the Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was thine anger against the rivers? Or was thy anger against the sea, that thou didst ride on thy horses, on thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made bare, the rods of chastisement were sworn, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and quaked. The downpour of waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of thine arrows, at the radiance of thy gleaming spear. In indignation thou didst march to the earth. In anger thou didst trample the nation. Thou didst go forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou didst strike the head of the house of the evil, to lay him open from the thigh to the neck. Selah. Thou didst pierce with thine own spears the head of his throngs. They stormed into scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. Thou didst tread on the sea with thy horses, on the surge of many waters. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound of my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. This is for the choir director on my stringed instruments. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word this evening. We notice that this was a vision that came from God to Habakkuk. A vision of divine judgment that God was going to bring. Notice the basis of his prayer in the first two verses. Prayer was to appeal to a judge for a favorable decision. He was crying unto God for a favorable decision for the nation of Israel. Even though they were wrong, even though they needed to be punished, he was crying out that God would, in his punishment, have mercy upon them. He uses a phrase here in that first, or a word here in that first word, verse, Shigenoth. If you look over in Psalm 7 and verse 1, you'll find in the heading of that, at least in my Bible, that that word is used again, perhaps in another, another way, another portion, but it's still, the root is the same. And from what we gather, although it's not clear in many ways, it would seem that this was a musical term, probably concerning a very fast beat of the drums, what we would call in music a crescendo. And this seems to be the climax of the book of Habakkuk. The whole book comes into a climax, and we will come to that in the last two or three verses of the book, how the whole book comes along, and we see how it builds up into a real climax at the end of the book. He heard God's answer and was afraid in verse 2. Lord, I've heard the report about thee, and I fear. This was a reverential fear of God's judgment. He saw that God was going to bring judgment upon his people, and there was fear there. And he cried that there would be a revival, bring back to life the work that God had started in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had gotten farther and farther and farther away from God, and here was a cry from Habakkuk, Lord, revive thy work, bring it back to what it used to be. We've only been home a few months, and yet we've heard so much of the way that the work of the Lord is really, in a sense, going downhill in many areas. We need to cry unto the Lord for a revival. It's interesting, isn't it, as we brought out in the first part of the book, how that Habakkuk went to God. I find too often our tendency today is to go to everybody else, tell everybody else about the problems, but we don't tell the Lord. We don't go to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord and lay it before the Lord and cry unto the Lord and ask him to send the revival amongst his people, to awaken them, bring them back to where they used to be. And that's what we need today. We need to be brought back to what is given in another portion, brought back to our first love of the Lord. In the midst of the verses, in the midst of the years, in the years of calamity, their exile, he cries that God would revive them, God would bring them back, God would cause them to understand what had happened and cause them to turn back to God. Notice that in the latter part of that verse, he says, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, even in your wrath, even in your judgment, Lord, show loving mercy to your people. Certainly God is one who shows loving mercy even in his wrath. He shows it to his people. And then in verses 3 to 10, we find the source of the meditation of the Lord and his history of his work and his pageant of history there for the nation of Israel. Notice in verse 3, he speaks of Teman, Mount Paran. This is Mount Sinai, where they were given the law. Notice, too, that in that verse, after he mentions this, that phrase, that word, Selah, is brought in. And as I understand it, this word in the Hebrew meant to stop and think of what has just been said. Stop and meditate. And when they would stop and think of what God gave them there on Mount Sinai, God gave them his law. God gave them what he wanted them to follow, and they had not followed it. And Habakkuk says, I want you to stop and think of that. I want you to stop and think of the fact that God has given his word and we must follow God's word. They hadn't followed it. The history of Israel from Egypt to the Holy Land in verses 4 to 10. Boy, that's a quick history, isn't it? You get some of your history books and it's a lot longer than that. It's interesting if we would go back and do just a little thinking of what happened and how God was with those people as they traveled through the wilderness. I don't know if you've ever been out in a wilderness and realized that, boy, it would be tough to be stranded out in the wilderness. And these people, they estimate there were probably around 3 million people. Now, you stop to think of when you go to the grocery store. Some of you have a fairly large family. You go to the grocery store and think of what you would put in that cart for 1 week. And then multiply that till you get the 3 million. And they couldn't go to a grocery store. There was no place for them to go. There was no harvest because there was no place to sow. There was no place to reap. There they were in the wilderness 40 years. And for 40 years, God had provided for them every last thing they needed. All their food, all their water. And just stop having water in your house for a while and you'll begin to realize how desperate would be without water. There have been times in the Philippines when the power has gone off and haven't had power for 4 or 5 days and water is short. And believe me, when water gets short, you begin to realize how you really depend upon water every day. And then you think of the 3 million people walking through the desert where they don't have a tap to turn on and get water. There's no river flowing through the desert. And God provided them with all the water, all their food, for 40 years. Furthermore, the clothes that they had didn't wear out. Boy, I wish I could have some of those. Trouble is, they would get out of fashion pretty quickly as I look around today. But they weren't worrying about fashion. 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They were walking through the desert for 40 years, and God provided for them. Even though they did murmur against God. You read the history of them as they went through the desert, and God was providing all this. If God all of a sudden said, all right, you go ahead, I'm going to leave you in the desert, they would be dead in a very short time. But God provided, in spite of their murmurings. And here they were again in a place that was against God. And God was still dealing with them. Then verses 11 to 15, we find Joshua leads Israel into the promised land. Notice, the sun and moon stood in their places. Didn't that happen when Joshua went into the land and the sun and the moon stood still while they fought the battle? God even stopped nature so that the nation of Israel would be able to conquer and get the promised land. And in spite of all that, they turned against God. You know, so often we find that God provides for us abundantly, and yet we do not appreciate what God does for us. We live in a land where we can freely study the Word of God. We live in a land where we can freely come to a place like this. There are countries in the world today where they cannot do that. We live in a land where I have one translation, and I guarantee there are probably 3 or 4 other translations of the Bible in our midst this evening, and there are countries today that don't even have one Bible, not even one portion of the Bible in their language. God has blessed us abundantly. And oh, how we ought to thank Him and how we ought to live for Him. Notice the reaction that Habakkuk had for this in verse 16. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. God had told him there was a country coming to invade him. God had described that country to him. And Habakkuk says, I've got to sit here. I've pled with the people, and I've now got to sit here and wait for that to happen. And in fear and trembling, he sits there. You know, we today know that someday, perhaps very soon, we're going to be caught up and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are left behind are going to go to a lost eternity. They're going to be judged. And you and I know that. We ought to be acting like Habakkuk in fear and trembling, realizing that those who are left behind are going to be judged. And the responsibility to tell them is yours and is mine. What a responsibility we have. And then from verse 17 to 19, we have what I have classified as the triumph of faith, or the confidence of the godly. Notice the prospect of complete catastrophe in verse 17. The fig tree won't blossom. There will be no fruit on the vine, no grapes. The olive tree will fail. The fields won't produce food. The flock will be cut off. There'll be no cattle in the stalls. Absolute devastation of the country. You know, it's very easy. We're in a month when we have a day that we set aside for Thanksgiving. That's just 3 weeks, is it, today? Or 2 weeks? 2 weeks today. A day that we set aside for Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. I wonder if God took all that we had away from us, would we still be thankful? It's very difficult, isn't it? We are thankful because God has blessed us. Would we be thankful if God was the other way? He describes this desperate situation. And notice what he says in verse 18. He said, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. In spite of all that, that's not going to take my joy away. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to exult in the Lord. You know, that's real. We'll trust in God, isn't it? When everything looks black around, and it just looks like, well, everything has just all crumbled around us, to be able to say, Lord, I thank you for all of this. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Well, he says so in verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. And he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. The word Lord there is Yahweh. And as I understand, the word God there is Adonai. Jehovah has helped us. He is my strength. Don't depend on ourselves. don't depend on that's what around us, because that around us can fail. At the moment we begin to depend upon things around us, the moment we begin to depend upon man, it's going to fail. But we can rejoice in the Lord, because God is the God of strength. God is the one that will not fail. And in spite of all that's black around, Habakkuk says, I'm going to rejoice because God is my strength. And even though everything is going to be destroyed, and he was looking forward to that day when Babylon would come in and destroy the land. And if you read the history, that's what they did. They went in and they destroyed the nation of Israel. They took them captive and they destroyed the land. Nothing was left. And yet we can rejoice, because God, Jehovah, is our strength, not man. And we know that even in that, even in the destruction, even in difficult times, God is still with us. He makes us walk on high places. He makes our feet like hinds' feet. It's wonderful to know that even in difficult times that the Lord is there. We read in Philippians that we're to give thanks for all things. And that's what Habakkuk was doing. Habakkuk looked down into the future and he saw what was coming and he said, Lord, I'm thanking you for that. I'm rejoicing, knowing that all of this, you're still in control. Now that may be difficult for us at times. And when we're going through difficult times, it's sometimes very hard to give thanks to the Lord. I think of our dear Filipino friends, and we've got some that we've heard of, some of our Filipino commended workers that have lost everything in this last typhoon. And we're asking that Lord will use that to bring many more to himself. You know, many times we've found this. Many times we've found that when everything looks black, everything looks like we've come to the end of the world, as it were, God is still on his throne and God is still working. And in the end, we'll find that God is going to have his way. And Habakkuk knew that behind the scenes, God was still working. And in spite of the fact that the nation of Israel would be carried away, Habakkuk knew that wasn't the end. And he could rejoice in the Lord. And sometimes when we go through very, very difficult times, it's hard for us to understand. But we need to realize that God is still on the throne. And our strength comes from him, not from ourselves. May God help us to understand this for his name's sake. Shall we pray?